You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The theme is these nights on Sunday night in September, look what God is doing at North Valley. I want to approach you with this text, approach myself as well. Look what God's doing in my life. I wonder what God is doing in your life. Are you allowing God to do something? And I'm certain you're here on a Sunday night. You must be. This text is such an amazing text. I'd like to take it tonight and go through it just a little bit and explain and remind us of the verses and then pull it together. I'll do my best to be quick with this, but have you ever noticed in your life? I go back to my teenage years, and I never had a youth conference, but teenagers, have you noticed that at youth conference in June, you get all fired up and living for God and right for God and doing right and just loving the things of God? And then do you notice that by August, you're making the same decisions at camp again in August? We've all been there, and we've done that. And I've done that my entire life. I've made decisions, and then I see, well, I'm not advancing and pressing on the upward way like I want to, and I have to make decisions again. I find that it's so easy to prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I find it's easy, if I'm not careful, to get careless with the things of God. I don't want to be careless. God knows I try to work at it and get up early and read my Bible and pray and walk with God and get up through the night, and I want to be a man of God. And yet I realize that I pinch myself. I realize I'm just flesh. I realize that there's so much more growth in grace. And that's why 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. It is a lifetime project that we add to these things, as Peter tells in our life. And tonight, we're going to find that Peter, he was young in the Lord right here. He started so great, but he's already messing up. But God had great plans. And when sometimes you're going along just well, and then we stumble on the path, don't throw in the towel. God sees the whole picture. God sees Peter at the end when he's willing to be crucified upside down for the name of Jesus Christ. Peter sees that he's going to have a lot of failures along the journey of life. One of those journeys of failures are right here. And so you're a freshman in college and you stumble. You may get too many demerits this semester. You may not pass a course. You may have not ever written a paper. You're going to have to learn what an IBIT is all about. But you're going to make it. And just keep on keeping on. A just man falls 7 times, but he riseth up again. The Bible says here, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. Now, verse 2. And he saw two ships. I wonder who the owner of those ships were. He also saw they were fishermen. I wonder who those fishermen were. And he also saw that they were washing their nets, plural. So we have two ships and we have nets and we have fishermen and they're there, they're working. I wonder who those fishermen are. Well, verse 3 tells us. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Wait a minute. Simon? Isn't this the Simon that a couple of weeks before, turn there if you will, Matthew chapter 4. Isn't this the Simon just a few weeks before, maybe at the most a month, just a few weeks before he left his nets? Isn't this the same guy that left his nets? Isn't this the guy that got right at youth conference? Isn't this the guy that got right at camp? Isn't this the adult, and we can apply it to our life, that we walked the aisle and said, I'm going to have victory over that sin. I'm going to have victory. And then we find the next day we've done the same thing again. This man, Peter, listen what the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Nothing wrong with that. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse 20 is the key. Would you read that with me? Chapter 4, Matthew, verse 20. Ready? Begin. And they straightway, they gave it up. I'm out of the fishing business. I'm not going to be in the fishing business anymore. I'm going after men. Go back where we were in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says he entered in one of the ships, which is Simon's. I thought he gave it up. He did for a couple weeks. I thought you gave that liquor up. Well, you did for a couple weeks. Oh, I hope it'll help us tonight. As we look at Peter, I gave those drugs up for a couple weeks. I gave my pride, my selfishness, my hurt, my gossip, my envy, my strife. I gave all that up. I gave that argumentative spirit up. I gave my anger without even having to go to anger management. Gave it up. But isn't it amazing how it can pick it back up? The Bible says he entered one of the ships, which is Simon's. Well, maybe Simon sold it. Simon did not sell it. He was using it. And thrust out a little from the land, sat down and taught the people. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, isn't God going to be patient with Simon Peter here? Hey, you jerk, I thought you walked the aisle and said, I'm going to be a fisherman. But Jesus knows all how all this is going to work out. And he says to him, Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your, what's that word again? What'd you see, verse number 2? What was the last word? What? He says, get those nets. You can still use them. I don't want you to. You gave them up. And I know you don't have victory yet, Peter. You're so impetuous. It's a Peter that will lop off a guy's ear just in a heartbeat because he just thinks that, well, I'm going to stand up for Jesus. It was Peter that said, let me walk on the water. So impetuous. And you know, but be patient with impetuous people. We need them. We'd be a bunch of dull people if there wasn't some people around here that say, well, glory to God. People that get happy. People that get fired up about the things of God. Otherwise, we just all sit there like a bump on a log. Thank God for impetuous people. People say, man, let's go out and have 100 in a bus. Thank God for people that are impetuous. Hey, thank God for people who say, let's go buy that building and build it into a Sunday school building. There's always impetuous. I love them. I like to be around them. And the Bible says, he said, launch out to the deep. Let down your nets. Simon answered and said unto him, Master. That's an interesting word, master. It doesn't mean teacher. It means boss man. It's really not a respectful way that he's talking to Jesus. You're in charge, all right? Boss, authority, you're in charge. You know, when God gives us authority in our life, we can get caustic toward it and call it master. Okay, you're the boss. Okay, husband, you big jerk, we're saying in our heart, but I'll follow you. You don't know where you're going, but I'll follow you. And God bless you, ladies. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. He says, we've toiled all night and have taken in nothing. Hey, boss. Hey, leader. We've been at this thing all night long. Nevertheless, and I don't think I've heard positive preaching. I don't think his spirit's positive yet. Nevertheless, all right. At that word, I'll let down the net, singular. God says, you got nets, use your nets. He said, I'm not putting my nets in the water because I got to clean my nets. I just got them clean. I'm not going through this again. Don't interrupt my plan. I'll let down a net, singular, but I'm not going to let down my nets. And he goes on to say, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net. I wonder what had happened if he had the nets down in the water. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. They should come and help them. And so they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. So here's this man. He went back in the fishing business. He already, I surrender all. But really, I did not surrender all. I surrendered some. I'll follow you. But he already got back in the fishing business. Sometimes in our soul winning, I want to be a soul winner. We go out and we just don't. So I just give up. Never give up. Never give over to your trust. They say, well, this is my besetting sin. It's always there. Well, let God conquer it. And so he says, Mr. Boss, Mr. Leader, I'm going to let my net down at your word. But when he did it, he saw those fish come. And all of a sudden he realizes, I'm not talking to the boss man. And I don't want to go back to the way of just fishing. Because verse 8 is the powerful verse that it reveals that Peter had a change of heart. And in verse 8, and Simon Peter saw it. He fell down on his knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Most fail on the pathway of life. But oh, we must get to the point where we can see who he is so that we can see who I am. When I begin to see who he is, how great thou art. When I begin to see who he is, when I consider the works of thy hands, the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man? Man dethrones himself. Oh, sinful man. He fell at his feet. Oh, sinful man that I am. What would happen if the pastor and the people came to a point where we got rid of our self-will and our plan B agenda and got rid of our nets and say, God, all my life, let go and let God have his wonderful way. Here am I, Lord, send me. What would happen if mothers and dads would say, my child is not my child? Brother, the book of Psalms says they're an inheritance of the Lord. They are owned by God. And God, I give you back my child, my son. I give you back my daughter. Take their lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Wherever you lead, I'll support them. They can go. I can recall so many times as I would battle even early in life, I'd know that perhaps God would call our kids away from us, and I didn't want that. And I don't know if any parent would want that. And praise God, they were here. All those years working us, with us. And I remember when they were little, my wife would say, I'd rather have my children halfway around the world in the center of God's will than living right next door outside the will of God. Mothers and dads, we're going to have to begin to think of these last moments before eternity. That the success of your son, if he becomes a computer programmer, or becomes a doctor and a lawyer, and that's the will of God, praise God. But give God first shot at his life. Amen. Give God the opportunity. Say, but I won't have anybody take care of me. That is, oh, sinful man that I am. Right. You're looking about what you get out of it, but that child does not belong to you. That child belongs to God. God has a plan for his life. God has a plan for her life. It may be like our missionary that's here today, Alicia Stensis. It may be going back where she grew up into Uganda. It may be going to a hard country, a difficult country. It may be that people there who need the gospel need someone like her or someone like your son or my daughter or our kids or our grandkids, and they can say, Lord, at thy will, I want to do what you want. Oh, sinful man on him. But oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even if it's humble, help my will to crumble. Although the cost be great, I'll work for you. Hear my Lord, send me. God may want to send you to be a Sunday school teacher at this church, a bus worker at this church, a choir member at this church, a orchestra member at this church, and on it goes, all the various ministries at this church. Look what God's doing. He's given us opportunities. And it may be with your family, that husband and wife and children and grandchildren, all be, as many are, in the same church, in the will of God. But it might be that some will leave us to go around the globe to get the good news of the gospel to a dying world that's going to spend eternity in a place called hell. I saw that video tonight. Alicia, such a moving video before church. We'll make sure that every group of people see it. How the gospel came to Sharon, a girl that had no hope in life, born in Uganda, Ugandan, no family. What she had was beatings, torture, turmoil, rejection, sorrow, and sadness. I'll tell you what I saw on that video, that she saw Life Radio, heard Life Radio, Uganda. I remember this church giving a huge amount of money to that station. I can remember before the tower went up that we gave money, as I'm certain other many churches did, to get that tower up in the air, and it's beaming the gospel all over that region. And she heard it. And she got saved, listened to that radio, unshackled. And she not only got saved, but she began to pray about a church, and God directed her eyes right to a place called Independent Baptist Church. And began to grow. Now she too is a missionary to her own people. And together they are reaching between 1,500 and 2,000 teenagers in public schools every single week. Hey, you that gave to Life Radio so many years ago, your investment's not in vain. I look at this text before us. Before God's going to use us, we're going to have a recognition of who we are. I know who I am, and I think you do too. Here's what it is. I'm a sinful man. But God can take us when we come to the end. This is the end of a cell. You don't find more nets after this. You don't find more ships after this. God's going to, now he's still going to deny Jesus. We know that. He's still going to stumble along the way. He'll still stumble. But I want you to know that a big victory. Life is not necessarily just one huge victory. It's step after step after step. Oh, I tell students all the time, I was doing so well. I didn't want to go to college, but my dad said the 13th year, so I went. I didn't want to go to the school he wanted me to go to, but I never told him. I thought he loved me more than I loved him. I wanted to go to Tennessee Temple, marry a Southern belle, and I went to a Northern school and married a Northern girl. And I tell you what, I'm so glad I married someone that can speak English. Can't understand half these Southern girls. Sorry, ladies. I got through that freshman year. I was doing so well. and toured with a group that summer, four of us. And they got that sophomore year and all was fired up until about February. I remember that February day. I'd gone to music theory 2 class that morning at 7:20, I think. I got out of that class. There wasn't many of us in that class. We started with a large class, but we wound up with 7, and I was the dumbest of the 7. And they had published the grades on the professor's doors at my college, all the classes. Psychology had our grades published, everything. And there's Jack, number 7 in the music department, and 7 wasn't the best. It was the worst. And I had a friend quit college the night before, and he drove out during the night. I went back after that class and sat at that desk and looked over that field of snow. I was reading my Bible in Jeremiah. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be here anymore. I think you want me here, but I don't want to be here. Please let me go to Vietnam. Please let me join the Marine Corps. You know, I had some nets that I had to burn. And I never forget thinking later in life, there's nothing wrong with the military. We've had so many boys in the military, and I praise God for them, and girls. But I wonder if I would have come home from Vietnam in a body bag. I wonder if God would have never let me preach the gospel. I never pastored the North Valley Baptist Church. I never been the president of a college or a Christian school. Life could have been so much different. I don't know what God would have done or had done in my life. I got to Jeremiah 12 in my Bible reading. I'd look up and see that snow, and then I'd look back down. I got to verse 5. And if thou hast run with the footmen. And I got thinking, that's what I'm here with all these footmen. And the next phrase says, and they have wearied thee. You got tired here. Then how can you contend with the horses? And I wrote, if I can't make it here in college, I'm not going to make it in Vietnam. I determined that day, you know what I determined? I was going to fall down. I didn't say these words, but really what I was acknowledging, I'm a sinful man. Got to have my own agenda. And that morning, Brother Bill, that morning at probably about 8:30, I burned my nets. And I burned my ships too. They were just little boats. And I tell you, there's such a relief on my heart. And then I got down a little further in college and I stumbled again. And then I got down into marriage and everything was great. And then trials come and difficulties come. It's been the way of life for you and for me. And not just the difficulties from without, but the difficulties from within. I could find it very easily to condemn myself. That's a fault. I know that. You don't have to tell me how, when people tell me, oh, you're just, and they go on and on, I'm thinking, you don't know the half of it. I'm worse than that. It's easy. And that's not right either, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I have to burn that net of pride again and that ship of pride again. And so here we have a man. He was laboring in the flesh, in the power of the flesh, not having God's blessing until God poured down his blessing. And he realized, I'm not deserving of this. Do you know, church, tonight, we don't deserve to have a Spanish pastor and his wife like that. That girl, that Spanish pastor's wife, whose bones and his little body, her little body as a little girl, were broken and brutalized by adults. And those precious hands that bear the scars to this day, when they were lit on fire by adults that were supposed to be caring for her. We don't deserve a special girl like her, a mother of 5, that's raised a godly family. We don't deserve a man of God like that man that's given his life to the ministry here. We don't deserve these wonderful Spanish people. It's just the grace and the blessing of God. And I believe it's because people like you said, we'll go ahead and burn our nets. We'll build buildings and let Indian people come and Spanish people come and Filipino come and Indian people come and whatever, red and yellow, black. We want them all here to come the gospel. And because you burn your nets, because you burn your ships, God's put his power on your life, and God's put his power and his blessing and his miracles on this place. So tonight, all my challenge is, can you get a recognition of yourself so can you get a recognition of who he is? If we could decrease and he could increase, the blessings of God could pour out like never before.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.